singers, the teachers, those that bring the word of God, the pastors, the ministers, Father, whatever we do, those that are greeting at the front door, those that are working in the sanctuary, God, anoint us, let the love of God flow through us, let you be seen through us, let us hide behind you this day. Father, let my words and my thoughts all be yours, Father. I submit myself to you, Father. In the name of Jesus, I bind and rebuke any spirit that is trying to infiltrate this area, this church, this building, this parking lot, your people, Father. In Jesus' name, you must flee. Be gone, in Jesus' name. Let everything work according to your will. The microphones, the TVs, the computers, whatever it is, Lord Jesus, that is operating according to your will today, Father, let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, I want to take my opportunity to wish all the mothers Happy Mother's Day. Whether you gave birth, adopted, helped raise, are still helping raise, aunties, cousins, mother. A mother comes in many forms. And some of us are spiritual mothers. And today I honor you. As Jesus was dying, he looked down upon his own mother, and he made sufficient means for her. And he asked John to take her and to care for her and be her son. So mothers have a special place for him, of course. That was where he got the Son of Man, was from her. And that was the title that he was very proud of. And he would call himself Son of Man many times in the New Testament. You would hear him say that. So mothers have a very special place in all our hearts. So today I want to talk to you about another gospel. If you saw the post on the family page, that's what I put as my title for today. And when I look at ourselves, and I can look at myself, and I see sometimes that I have a gospel according to Sonia. I have a gospel according to Sonia. To Sonia, what she thinks and what she feels. And two things that I don't need to rely on is my feelings, definitely, and what I think it needs to be, the Word of God. So I want to talk about another gospel. A gospel is defined as the written body of teachings of a religious group that are generally accepted by that group. It is a doctrine that is believed to be of great importance. Now, we know the New Testament is made up of mostly Pauline letters, were letters that he wrote to the churches, Ephesus, Galatians, Corinthians, and they become what we know today as the Bible. The gospel, which is considered the good news of salvation, the word of truth offered to mankind by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says it is a free gift no one can earn. It is a free gift. But many of us live our own gospel, don't we? I was thinking about some of the things that we like to quote. James 4:7 comes to mind. Resist the devil and he must flee. Well, that's only part of that scripture. We love to use that, and it is true. But the beginning of the scripture says, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Sometimes we leave that part out. The gospel according to Sonia. I have to do that part? Okay. We either justify our own wants and desires by twisting or omitting what the Bible says is truth. And then there's the other issue. The Bible calls that having itching ears. And there's the other issues of false teachers. False teachers. So we're going to look at both of those issues today. Briefly, because I only have 30 minutes to tell you these things. 2 Timothy 4. No, yeah. Actually, let's start at 3. And I really want to do some reading today. Because I want you all to hear it. And the letters to Timothy were considered pastoral letters, is what we call them, because Timothy was a minister that was left at Ephesus to take care of the church that Paul had started there. And let's read 3 and 4, and I'm in the New Living Translation. Sometimes it helps me understand things, even though I love the King James a lot. You shall know, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. Roe versus Wade is back in the news. They consider nothing sacred. It's a choice. No, it's not. It's a human being. It's a life. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends and be reckless, be puffed up with pride and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. They are the kind who work their way into people's homes and win their confidence. When the confidence of vulnerable women who are burdened with the guilt of sin and controlled by various desires. Such women are forever following new teachings, but they are never able to understand the truth. These teachers oppose the truth, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, and those were two of the magicians, the king's magicians. They have deprived minds and a counterfeit faith. But they won't go away with this. They won't get away with this for long. Someday, everyone will recognize what fools they are, just as Jannes and Jambres. And I want you to understand that Paul is not talking about the unbelievers. He's talking about the Christians. And the reason why I know that, if you go flip to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, it talks about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It talks about being a vessel, an approved worker. And I won't read all that for time's sake, but read it. And he talks about there are some vessels in the house of God that are gold and silver and some that made of wood and clay. There's a difference. So when he's telling Timothy in this third chapter, he's talking about Christians. He's not talking about the sinners, the ones that are outside of God, because we expect them to be that way. But we don't expect those within the walls of God's kingdom to be these kinds of people. And that's why you've got to be very careful about living the gospel according to you. According to Sonia, according to Pastor. No, 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 no. You need to have that relationship with God yourself. I'm not saying that you can't come to us and you can't ask us questions and we can't, but anyone that doesn't lead you to the scriptures, I would be suspect of. I feel. I believe. Oh, that's okay to say, but let's back that up with God's word. And if I've done that, I apologize. I am human. I make mistakes. And as you know, our pastor is very transparent. I will be too. I wished I was perfection, but I am not. I think that it's interesting if you go over to the next chapter, 2 Timothy 4, and you look at 3 and 4. He's explaining this. Well, let's just read the whole thing, he says, because it's just a couple verses. I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead. When he comes to set up his kingdom, preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. Now, that applies to the pastors and the shepherds of the flock, but that applies to the leaders, to the laymen, each and every Christian. How would you feel standing in front of God one day believing a lie that you were told in church and believed from your pastor? How would you feel that he didn't correct that behavior? And because of that, you are damned to hell for eternity. Yes, he's going to be hard. Yes, we're going to be hard on you. Yes, it feels difficult. But it should. Being a mother is not easy. Correcting my child, trying to train them to be a person that society, that can grasp the society and operate, but also be beneficial in society. It's not an easy task. My husband and I were talking about it coming over here. He says, I guess one of us has to be the love and the other one has to be the stern one. I said, no, you have to be both. And that's the hard part, being a parent. I used to tell my son, if you come with the manual, I would definitely spend any money to buy it because, man, I'm going through this blind. I'm drawing on my own experience as a child, seeing my parents, and he's drawing on his, and we're coming together and trying to figure out how to make it work for us and make it right. It's the same way in the kingdom of God. This is why you're not supposed to forsake the assembling together. We need each other. We need to lift each other up. We need to rebuke each other in love if needed. Because I don't want to stand before God one day with your blood on my hands because I told you something that wasn't right or I didn't tell you when I should have. That's why you need a relationship with God. That's why you need to nurture that relationship. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Read the Word of God. It is your guide. It is the book. It's the living God breathing and speaking to you. It's your love letter. It's your directions. As I said, Easter morning, Jesus' example is our calling. We're supposed to mirror God. Be you holy as I am holy. That takes a choice. That takes a choice every day, every minute of the day. Do I choose right every day? No. I wish I could say, yeah, I do, but I don't. Let's go on. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. You can look around the churches nowadays and see that. Nobody wants to hear the hard stuff. Nobody wants to chew on the meat of the word. They all want the milk. La, 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 let's go pick daisies. That's going to get you killed as soon as you walk out that door. I got to give you something that you can digest, you can grow on, mature on, and then you can go back out there and use it to defend yourself, to care for the ones that can't defend themselves. You've got to have what you need to get out here. That's called sound and wholesome teaching. Wholesome, if I understand correctly, is just a word that means morally correct. Because people are watching you. And you're the only Bible some people read. It's really true. And it says, they will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. It's human nature to make it easy on ourselves, isn't it? Let's take the easy route. I remember many times in my life, when I'm presented and I can go forward and I know it's going to cause pain. I know it's going to take time. I know I'm going to be hurt and I know other people are actually going to be hurt. But I don't take the broad road. The Bible talks about the broad road. Many are on the broad road. That's the easy road. No, look for the narrow road. That's where the Holy Spirit is going to lead you. Because very few will make that choice. They have itching ears. They just want to hear what they want to hear. And we have many of those. People that hop from church to church, and once they hear something they don't like, they keep moving. I'm not being fed here. I don't like the music. Did you see the way that pastor's wife was dressed? Did you hear the music? Did you see that music leader? Oh, they'll find any reason. I've been in church my whole life. I've seen them all, heard them all. Even as a child, I understood certain things. He goes on to encourage Timothy, but you shall keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. We all have a ministry. You may not be standing up here speaking, singing, playing. You may not be teaching the children. But don't think you don't have a ministry. Every family member, every friend, every coworker, every person at the gas station, at the restaurant, you have a ministry. You are called to. And as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. Now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. Those were Paul's final words to Timothy. But if you go to 2 Timothy 2, that's a way to look at yourself and see if you're living by the gospel of yourself. Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach those truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civil life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. And athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. And hard-working farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. Think about what I'm saying. The Lord will help you and understand all these things. Always remember that Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. This is the good news I preach. And because I preach this good news, I am suffering and have been chained like a criminal. But the word of God cannot be changed. So I am willing to endure anything if it brings salvation and eternal glory in Jesus Christ Jesus to those God has chosen. Remind everyone about these things and command them in Christ's presence to stop fighting over words. Such arguments are useless and they can ruin those who hear them. And I skipped over verses 11 and 12. It says that you should endure hardship. You should die with him. You should deny. Don't deny him. Be faithful. Remain faithful. And then we have this wonderful verses of work hard so that you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of God, of the truth. Avoid worthless, foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior. This kind of talk spreads like cancer, as in the case of Hymenaeus and Philetus. They have left the path of truth, claiming that the resurrection of the dead has already occurred. In this way, they have turned some people away from the faith. What you believe and talk about does affect other people. But God's truth stands firm like a foundation of stone with this inscription, "The Lord knows those who are his, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil." In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. Some are pure. Some are special for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteousness, righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the company of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. And again I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. Be able to teach and be patient with difficult people. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth, and perhaps God will change those people's hearts, and then they will learn the truth. then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. Are you living according to another gospel? Are you living according to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Paul also wrote to the Galatians in Galatians 1. And he gave us instructions about false teachers. False teachers were present at the day of Christ. They're nothing new. The enemy has his own. They're out there living the lives of hypocrisy, living lives that bewitch others. And if you're not careful, you can be deceived. So I'm here to educate you, not only about living by your own gospel, but be careful of another gospel. And so Galatians 1, this is Paul writing to the Galatians, and I want to start in 6. And I want to read that in the King James Version. It says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so shall I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, meaning from Paul and the disciples, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. And if you go over into Galatians 3 and 1, you see where Paul writes, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you? The Galatians, if I'm not mistaken, they were dealing with people who were trying to bring them back under the old law, not under the new covenant of Jesus Christ. And they were also pursuing these people and telling them they had to be circumcised physically to be Christians, to be of the faith. We don't deal with the circumcision so much. We do deal with some of the other things, legalism. Jesus even dealt with them and confronted the false teachers of his day in Matthew 5, 6, and 12. He says, they made man-made laws to obtain salvation. They lead lives which were on the outside a show. I think he called them whitewashed tombs. But he says on the inside, they're nothing but man's bones and death. He pulled no punches. He said that to their faces. These were the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day. He called them hypocrites. They claimed moral beliefs and standards, but their behavior did not conform to it. Did not conform to it. I want to go to 1 Timothy. We'll go back to 1 Timothy 6. And in his note, his letter to Timothy, he explains to him what to be on guard for, what to look for when you're facing false teachers. Now, first of all, you've got to know the word. As we just read, you've got to be a good soldier. You've got to be worthy of the call that you have. That means you have got to get your relationship right, and you've got to know your word. Because how are you going to know that I'm telling you the truth unless you know it for yourself, unless you've read it for yourself? That's why I say be very leery of anyone that doesn't take you back to the scriptures when there's a situation. It's easy to twist the truth, make it work for ourselves, but you've got to know, you just got to know. 1 Timothy 6 and 3, if any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strives of word, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, evil surmisings, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godly. From such withdraw thyself. Now he's not talking about the sinners, the non-Christians. He's talking about the false teachers that are living as godly people. So let's break that down. First, you see, if any man teaches otherwise, well, what's otherwise mean? Let's go up and read the first couple of verses. Let as many servants are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Now, I've taught, we are servants. We're actually slaves. And we should live and work accordingly to honor our God. And definitely don't want to bring any shame to his name. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. And if any man teaches otherwise, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about rebellion. Flat out rebellion. Give honor. Give worth. Despise not. Do all unto the name of the Lord. When you go to work every day, whatever you do every day, do it as unto God. As if God had said, Sonia, I want you to do this today, and I want to do it to the best of my knowledge and the best attitude, because I want to honor him. That's what your everyday Christian life is supposed to be, to bring honor to him. Not rebellion, but to bring reverence to God. Be reverential and bring honor to him. Let's look at the next thing. And consent not to wholesome words. Wholesome means to sound, contributing to the health of the mind, to morals, prosperity, that which brings wholeness, completeness, entirety. If you have someone that's trying to teach you something and you know it's not wholesome words, are leading to wholesome thoughts, beware. The Bible says, get away from them. The third thing, words of our Lord Jesus Christ, declaring who he is, who God is, who the Bible is. If they dispute any of that, red flag, as we say in this generation, red flag, false teacher, be careful. You're treading on enemy territory. Know who you're dealing with. Then it says, the doctrine which is according to godliness. If they're encouraging sinful behavior, sinful thoughts, sinful talking, sinful whatever, red flag. You're dealing with somebody who's a wolf in sheep clothing. Anybody that gives you permission to sin, not your brother and sister in the Lord. Leviticus 11:44 and 1 Peter 1:16 talks about girding up the loins of your mind and putting away the formal lust of yourself. We're supposed to live a godly life. Be you holy as I am holy. The fifth thing that we see in the scripture is he is proud. We all know how Jesus, our God, feels about the proud. What does he say? He puts away the proud, but he draws the humble nearer to him. These are people who are consumed with themselves and their own ideas. I like that it says they are proud, knowing nothing. They talk a good game. They sound good. They're all about them. I like for my children to be connected with people who are all about them. Because usually there's no room for my children in their lives. Usually someone they're dating. Red flag. Listen to the conversation. I had one time. And I asked him, my daughter was dating him, what do you all plan to do after she gets off work? Oh, well, I just signed up for college. Blah, 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 me, me, me. And I'm sitting there going, oh, my gosh. Good friend. Sometimes you can't get it through their heads. I'm like, there's no room for you there. It's all about him. You see that. It works both ways. The girls are all about themselves, their look, what you can give them. It's the same. Pride. There are a couple things that I remember. You know, Satan was the first one. He was actually removed from heaven because he wanted to be, I will be like God. And he even took some of the angels with him. They fell for it. And Eve. Eve was another one who was deceived by the enemy. Are you sure you're going to be like God? Well, she knew. She said, he told us not to eat this. We'll be like him. I don't know. The enemy was like, are you sure about that? Yep. Simon the sorcerer in Acts 8, 9 through 21. He was a sorcerer, had deceived many people by his magic tricks. And when the disciples came to town and he saw what they were doing, he tried to buy it with money. And I think it was Paul that said, you know, there's something wrong with your heart. You may look like it on the outside, but there's something wrong on the inside. Read the story. It's good. James 4 and 6 says, God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Let's go on. The next thing that to identify a false teaching, false teacher is doting about questions and strifes of words, which leads to envy, strife, railing, evil surmising. That's perverse disputing of men. That, you know, almost gets physical. You get angry. Things are said, you know. Evil surmising. Evil surmising is thinking someone means evil without evidence. But look who they're hanging out with. Perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds. Look at their circle. Look at their circle. You may not always know that, but you can see who hangs out with them. You can see what they feed from. Destitute of the truth. Destitute means lacking what was needed. And the last thing that you'll see, supposing that gain is godly. They're in it for the money. They're in it for the clout, for what it can get me. Help me climb the ladder. Red flag. False teacher. Not someone that I should be allowing to feed into my mind. That I should be patterning myself after. So, another gospel. I've run over my time, but another gospel. I'm not teaching another gospel. I'm showing you how not to be caught up with whatever you think looks like the gospel, but it isn't. The gospel of Sonia. The gospel according to Benny. The gospel according to Pastor. No, no, no. You get to the Word. You learn what the Word says. You won't be fooled. As Paul gave the letter to Timothy, I present it now to you. Be on guard. This word was on my heart for several days because I've been praying, God, what do you want me to do? He hadn't given me anything yet, and false teachings just kept pumping into my head. So I suspect we'll have the opportunity to use this very soon. Don't fall for another gospel. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor. And we